Atlanta. What's up?
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Coming to you from Flowery Branch, Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, Anthony AJ, the intern. All of us here ready to talk about another week of Falcons action. Say hello, fellas.
Hello, fellas.
Howdy, fellas.
All right.
And ladies out there.
Yep. Had to include the ladies, don't you?
Man, you can't forget about the ladies, all man. Right. It's the ladies,
all
man.
Right. All right. All right. Okay. All right. So, Falcons coming off the 30-20 loss at Carolina last week. Not a whole lot that we can really, put on that one. It's just, it is what it is, and we're just all going to move on.
Yes. 24-hour rule, Jay, and, it's there's no sense in dwelling too much on it. It wasn't a lot of good stuff to come out of that game.
No, plenty to learn from, though, for the Falcons as they're back at work this week getting ready for the defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants, who are coming to town. Very, very tough matchup for the Falcons, who are facing a Giants team that just beat the Saints 52-27 last week. So certainly a team that looks like, once again, they're heating up at just the right time.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you would think. I mean, they've been kind of enigmatic this season. Five losses, Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles beat them. So when I think about the Giants, I see that score that they put up last week, and it's an impressive score. They're certainly starting to come around, but I they struggle with injuries as well, and they got a big game out of the rookie David Wilson in Ahmad Bradshaw's place last week. But, I see a team that's kind of been all over the place this season. They've played really well even earlier in the season as well. So I don't think they're maybe the scary Giants that we kind of saw in the playoffs last season as they launched their Super Bowl run last year. So, they're a good team by all means, and, they're certainly to be respected, and they can bring a lot to the table. But I think this is going to be one of the best games we've seen the Falcons play in, a number of years. I think this is a game that, just based on some of the things that are swirling around it, it's going to be a game that we're not going to forget very soon, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere alone is going to be fantastic. I mean, the people despite the loss last week, Falcons fans are still excited. They're excited to get back into the Dome. The Dome is beyond sold out if you don't have tickets.
Yeah.
You waited too long.
Yeah.
it's going to be one of those atmospheres where you're going to feel the electricity if you're in the building. And, I would even argue at home. It's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday. But it really is going to feel like a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. It's just going to have that kind of atmosphere to it because there's a lot on the line for both teams. The Giants are playing for to win the NFC East, and so they've got plenty to play for. Things are really, still tight where they're at. The Falcons, they've already locked up the division, but, they want that number one seed, and there's still the opportunity to do that. So, certainly a lot on the line for both of these teams. Is definitely not a game that either team is going to be sleepwalking through, I don't believe.
No. And, with that number one seed comes home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and that's really the thing, the carrot that's kind of, in my eyes, that's kind of dangling in front of the Falcons. I think that's what they really want. All teams want to play at home, and you get that first round bye as well. I think that that could set up very well for them this season, and we've seen that happen in the past and not go in the Falcons' favor. But, I think there is a lot to play for this week, and I think, it will be a playoff atmosphere because so much about this game is determine some things that are going to happen in the playoffs. So, yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be an exciting day. You're right. 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, but you're right. It's going to have a Monday night feel, Thursday night feel. Some of those games we've seen in the Dome when things get kind of crazy. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and move on to our world-famous buy or sell segment. So we're going to bring Anthony, AJ. What are we calling you these days?
Whatever you want to call
it's me. Feed AJ and then Anthony the intern, and Hey You sometimes.
Yeah, Hey Fat Guy.
No, we don't say that.
Oh, I got that a lot growing up.
Well, we don't judge like that around here. This is a judgment-free zone on the Falcon Cast
podcast.
That's
what I'm talking about. But I like Feed AJ. I think we're going to go with Feed AJ for today.
All right, we'll call you Feed AJ. Now you're going to feed us some buy or sell topics here as Daniel and I ready ourselves for battle on the microphone.
Battle Royale. All right.
Yeah, here we go.
Round one. All right, this is the most important game of the regular season.
Bye.
Ooh. That was fast, Jay.
You like that?
Okay,
I like that.
That's so emphatic that it doesn't need an explanation, perhaps.
No, it probably does. Look, it's an important game. It's a really important game because I think, you know, you've got three games left to play. I think right now, you know, the Falcons' magic number for that number one seed is two wins. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go into your last two games needing to get those two wins. You want to get one of those off your back right now.
Absolutely.
And you want to do that against the Giants. I mean, yeah, I've heard some guys in the locker room say, yeah, this isn't about revenge or anything like that. It's not. Different season, different team. Everything's different. But there's still that stigma. There's that, you know, you kind of want to. You kind of want to beat these guys for, you know, what happened in the playoffs. But I think more importantly, it's you want to beat these guys because it's such an important game to what you're trying to accomplish over the next 3 weeks. And you don't want to put yourself in a corner where it's going to be a lot easier for you to lose grasp of what you currently have a firm hold on. And a loss loosens that grip a little bit.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. So for me, most important game of the year right now.
Yeah.
Follow that up, Daniel.
Okay. Well, I was reminded of a song, but anyway.
You can have AJ sing it if
you
want.
Yeah. CNC Music Factory. And you don't want that.
My 90s pop music knowledge is fading by the day.
Okay.
don't
make me sing
some like Jodeci or something like that.
Okay.
Jodeci. Okay.
All right. Your most important game of the season, I think you're right. You know, I think if nothing else, I think that, you know, the Falcons haven't played well lately. I think that's an honest statement. And certainly coming off a loss and playing the way that they did play, and it being at the point in the season where it's really time to, you know, play your best football and begin to prepare for some really, really, you know, tough teams that are going to come in the playoffs. And the playoffs are, you know, one and done. You have a bad day, that's it. Things are over. They don't want to have a repeat like that in the playoffs. And I think they just – and it's not about confidence, I don't think. We've talked about this subject of confidence before on the podcast, and I don't think it's that. I think it's just the Falcons just want to begin to piece it together. And I think it starts this week. And I think what better time than to beat the Giants to kind of get that – start that playoff run, I think.
You know, I had said this a while ago. I don't think I said it on the podcast because, you know, we kind of go week to week on the podcast here. But I had some conversations with some folks, and I'd said a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, this Giants game is where you are going to see – the Falcons are going to see where they're really at. This is going to be the benchmark for the playoffs. You're going to see where this team is in getting ready to go to the postseason and to prepare themselves to make a run and to win postseason games. And I still think that. I still think this is a one of those games that prepares you for the postseason. And one way or another, you know, we're going to find out where the Falcons are.
Yeah, let's hope we like what we see.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we like what we see on the second buy or sell topic.
All right, Daniel, this is the time to redeem yourself. The Falcons' defense isn't the same without William Moore.
Bye.
Wow, Jay, you're on top of things today.
I am. I buy it. I think it's clear. I think, you know, without William Moore, you don't have that hard-hitting safety. You don't have that attitude that he brings. I think that security. You know, you talk about the position, and it's named called safety. I mean, you feel pretty secure when he's on the field. I think Chris Hope did a great job. I just think there's just a different style of play there. And, you know, we're talking about – when you look at the statistics, I mean, one of the best safety tandems in the league.
I mean, if not the best. Yeah, I mean, tops in the league. There's no other group has four interceptions apiece.
Exactly, and when you take one of those guys away, it's going to have an effect on your football team. And I saw a couple, you know, after in watching the film, I saw a couple of plays, and I'm like, yeah, William Moore probably would have made that play.
Yeah.
And I think that's just it was clear in that last game that's a guy that you're missing. So I think there's less that the Falcons defense can do when he's on the sidelines. So I buy that.
Yeah, I'll buy it too. You know, I think back to forever ago now in mini camp, and, you know, Coach Nolan has just come to town, and all of a sudden, you know, you're speaking to William Moore, and it's like he's not a different individual, but the way he talks about his game and the excitement about playing is like it's a completely different guy. And I feel like William Moore is a key in Coach Nolan's defense, and Coach Nolan relies on William Moore to do a lot of different things. So I buy the statement as well. And, you know, I the Falcons defense had some moments where they played well, and then they certainly had a lot of other moments where they didn't. But I think that William Moore does a couple of things, like you say, Jay, that kind of makes him invaluable. And he's and then there's the attitude thing too, and he kind of gives that defense a little bit of an edge. He's one of those edgy kind of guys. He, you know, a little bit of moxie, a little bit of attitude, and on defense that's kind of necessary. So yeah, I do buy this statement, and I it would be nice to see him out there this week for sure.
Agree. All right. Let's move on to the last one here, buy or sell.
All right. If the Atlanta Falcons win, you know, the turnover battle, they might actually beat the Giants. Buy or sell that one?
I buy it. I gotcha.
Dang.
Again.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. I buy it. I mean, if you listen to Coach Smith, and I've listened to Coach Smith for five seasons now, nearly every word he's said publicly, you know, if you win the turnover battle, you usually have a good chance of winning the game. The Falcons have proven that they can lose the turnover battle and still win a game. But that's, like we've said before, that's a dangerous game
hard to
play.
Do.
Yeah, it's not something you want to replicate. But I think against the Giants, forcing a turnover on that offense, that's a big win. So I definitely think, you know, I might even go as far as to say if the Falcons can force, you know, an interception, that's kind of the key. Like, they could win the game. So maybe that's what I'm saying right now.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay.
I just want to point out that I've said this before. How do you beat a good quarterback? You keep him on the sideline.
You take the ball away from him.
You get him on the sideline.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's the thing with Eli Manning. I think if you're able to – you know, it's – part and parcel to a couple of, I think it's step one is getting those turnovers. You have to.
Right.
Step two is when the offense is on the field is sustaining drives. And putting together those drives is going to keep Eli Manning on the sideline where he can be as harmless as a kitten.
Yes.
And that is, to me, the you know, 1-1A in this game is force the turnovers and then keep him on the sideline with your offense. And so I think, yeah, it's if you win that turnover battle, I think I'll go ahead and say that the Falcons can beat the Giants if they simply win the turnover battle. But I think it's also there's also a part of it. You got to be able to play well on offense.
Oh, absolutely.
And be a little
hang
bit more efficient.
No,
yeah,
no doubt. You're right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think what is that? Three straight buys, huh?
Three buys.
We're not selling anything.
No, and strong buys too. It wasn't. There was no fence sitting.
No,
there was no.
Not very frugal this week.
No,
we are
no.
buying it all.
No.
Buying it all. Send us your junkers
it
and
is.
Your old houses.
Christmas
we'll buy those
season,
too.
Right?
All right, let's all right. move on to the Twitter keys to victory. We have solicited our followers, probably a little, you know, too much. Maybe
we'd
like to get the word out there. You know. But we've asked for your keys to the game, and some of you have tweeted us, and others of you have blocked us. So,
yeah.
But again, we're going to go through it, and AJ is going to read all three of the keys that we found were the best, and then Daniel and I are going to rank them in order, and Then I think we'll figure out where we go from there.
Yeah, I think ranking could
we'll
go
play
there.
We'll play it by ear. All right, AJ, lead it off.
All right, number one, this comes from at Beer in Falcons. Blocked their front four with without too much, you know, running back or tight end help. You know, number two, this comes from the wrong boy. Best defense is good offense. Keep Eli's unit off the field by having long and productive drives. That's a good one. And the last one, one of my good friends, hanging with Coop. A fast start by both sides with paramount of this weekend.
Wait, read that again because you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got it wrong. This will come in handy, like Daniel said, read every word. Hanging with Coop. A fast start by both sides will be paramount this weekend.
There you go. There we go. Nailed it. That sounds a lot better. We nailed it.
All right, go ahead and rank them, guys.
All right, we're going to start out with number three. I'm going to go ahead and say number three for me is going to be – boy, this is tough. These are all good.
And it's funny because they kind of start to – intertwine a little bit. You're like, well, they start to link a little bit, and I think that's the beauty of this particular game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm going to say, it's so weird for me to say this, I'm going to say number three is going to be block their front four without too much running back or tight end help. Hmm. And I'm going to say that, okay, because, and look, I'm saying this is like 1A, 1B, 1C here. Like, this is not 1, 2, 3 to me. There are a lot of different things that are going on here, like you said. But I'm going to say that is probably third most important because of the running back tight end part of it, okay? I think you block those guys with whoever you need to. I don't care who you got back there. Block those front four, and you're going to be in great shape. Doesn't matter where the running backs are or the tight ends are. I don't think that's going to matter one bit. Block them with whoever you need to. But I think that's going to be like the third thing for me, simply because of that little caveat. Look, it's going to be super important to keep Matt Ryan upright, and we've seen that before. Okay, don't get me wrong here. And I think that's a hugely important part of this game. And these three things, I think, is completely difficult to rank these.
Yeah.
So please understand our challenge here today, as you're listening back home and probably cursing my name for thinking that this is possibly the third one. But I have reasons. Stick with me.
Okay.
I have reasons, and I'll explain them. But go ahead. I just say that's going to be like my 1C.
That's not what I thought I was going to hear. But I'll say number three, and for me, this is the strangest thing I'm ever going to say. It feels like it because we've discussed this a lot of times as well. We've actually thrown out stats that support this and everything else. But my number three of, you know, going 3-2-1, a fast start by both sides will be paramount this weekend. A fast start is important, but ultimately, you know, being able to play a solid game throughout the whole game, I think, is going to be even more key. So I think a couple of these others kind of go ahead of that, I think, because I think with some of these other things that we'll discuss, you know, the fast start won't even be possible. So fast start is my number three. But again, like you say, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C, the Falcons clearly play better and have performed well when they hit the field running.
All right. Well, we'll go on to number two. For me, number two is going to be that fast start. And I'll tell you why, because I wrote about it today. And the Falcons are 40-10 since 2008 when they have scored first against a team. All right? They didn't score first last week. And, in fact, Carolina scored five times before the Falcons got on the scoreboard. And we saw what happened there.
Yes.
The other thing is the Falcons are leading the league in points scored on opening possessions. Okay, 44 points they've put up on, and that leads your Patriots, your Saints, your very good offenses ahead of them. All right, I think getting back to that, especially after the way you're coming off this last game, is going to be so important for this offense to come out and to start fast and to put some points on the board right away. Because I think that sets the tone. It sets everything for the rest of the game. You're talking about putting together a whole game. I think it starts with that first drive, and I think that's so important, because how different would that Carolina game be if maybe the Falcons had put together a little bit there and at least maybe got three out of that drive, okay? We'll never know, because we could sit here and play what-ifs all day. But I think that adds something to an offense as they're trying to especially take on a tough opponent. You come out there, you know, first drive, you're able to either put their back against the wall and force them to make some kind of play, or at least stay on the field for a good bit of time and take some time off the clock and prove to yourself that, hey, we can move the ball. Maybe face a couple of third down situations and convert those.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be huge. And I think that just mentally for this team right now that seems to be in a little bit of a slump offensively, I think that could work wonders is coming out and starting fast. So that's my reasoning there.
Okay. My number two is the first one that we had, your number three, which was block their front four without too much running back or tight end help. For me, it's I feel like and again, it's something that we hear a lot about now as we talk, we discuss X's and O's more these days. You know, the passing game works off the running game, and the Falcons have been able to successfully pass the ball a lot this season without running the ball all that well at points. But I feel like against the Giants, that changes a little bit because the running game can kind of slow down that pass rush a little bit as well. So I feel like if the running backs are back there, if they're truly needed back there to help protect Matt Ryan, then they're not going to be running the ball. And so I feel like that's important for them, for the front five, the Falcons' five offensive linemen, to be able to, and maybe a tight end once in a while, to be able to get the protection that they need for Matt without using too much running back help. Because I want to see the running backs run the ball. I don't want to see Michael Turner back there blocking a lot. You know, they're certainly good at it. They can handle that. But I feel like if they're back there doing that, a portion of their what I think is their game plan is kind of beginning to be taken away. So that's my number two.
All right. Well, that leaves number one for me, and I've already explained this a little bit. As best defense is a good offense. You know, I remember the wrong boy, and I said back then when he was on, we talked about him on the podcast before, he should change his name to the right boy. I'm gonna say it again. He's the right boy this time again. Best defense is a good offense. Eli cannot hurt you if he is on the sideline. You keep that offense going. You keep it moving. Keep converting those third downs. Take time off the clock. It's going to be very hard for that Giant team to keep up with you. And I just think the more you're able to take away from what Eli can do, I mean, the better off you're going to be, and you're helping your defense out as well. So for me, that's a no-brainer. That's going to be number one for me.
Yeah, that's my number one, too. I guess it goes, you want to start fast and then slow it down.
Yeah, I guess you could say.
Slow the game down.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever it takes. But I think you're right, you know, putting together, you know, down after down, you know, being able to convert some third downs, convert downs no matter where they come, really. Just continue to be able to drive the ball up the field and take time off the clock and just kind of limit, like you said, you know, limiting the Giants' offense ultimately is what the Falcons want to do in order to win the game. And I think the Giants probably say the same thing in some regards about beating the Falcons. But we're talking about the Falcons here, and that's what I'm going to say as well. I agree, Jay. We've kind of pounded that topic into the ground now, so we're just going to let it rest. But, yeah, keep Eli on the sidelines looking at stuff, you know, pictures or whatever.
Books and
coloring.
Clipboards and
you know, all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Yes.
Keep him there. All right, so we're going to wake AJ up again. And
I wish I was asleep, but I wasn't asleep.
You're in the middle of the podcast. You wish you were asleep.
Sometimes. No, I'm just joking with you. I love being on the podcast, man. It's fun. Like, you always awake, man.
I know.
Get you pumped.
That's what I'm trying
just
to
like
do.
Just like this next segment right here.
This next segment's going to get
this
us pumped
next
up?
This next segment is going to get everybody pumped. I think right. We're going to get some good answers this
you
week,
ready?
Especially from my point of view. Okay.
Well, let's time. Yeah, it would be
time.
About
yeah.
time. All right.
Ooh, 2 weeks back-to-back, I had not so good picks. But this week, we're going to strive for better things. You know, Jay, last week you said Sean Witherspoon, seven tackles. No, that was good. Daniel, Julio, he stepped up big time and late in the game. 5 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. And my person was inactive. So, I think I'm going to go first this week.
Well, wait. All right, so let's say who would have been the right choices, I think, is right. For me, Steven Nicholas, Robert McClain on defense, maybe. And then Roddy White on offense would have been the guy. Maybe. I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
William Moore.
Matt had a big day, too.
Matt had a big day in the second half. William Moore, we're just going to say
yeah.
we're just going to let it go, aren't we?
We're just going to – hey, we're moving on to bigger and better things.
The week before, Mike Peterson played one play. Yeah. All right, so everybody listen to AJ's selection because he's going to go first. Let's see him redeem himself.
All right, as me and Jay spoke, I think it was day before yesterday, I'm going to go with offensive lineman, and not just because he's coming from one of the greatest schools in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but I honestly believe Tyson Klebo, Jason Pierre-Paul, he lines up on the strong side. I honestly believe that Tyson Klebo can catch him off coming off the end very good, and that's a big piece because, I mean, their front four is massive. So I'm going to go with Tyson Klebo. I think that's going to be my bold prediction this week.
All right. Well, as of Thursday, he is playing, so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so we're good there. All right, Daniel looks like he's still looking, so I'm going to go. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I am going to go ahead and say, now look, we don't know this now. All right, so I may be taking a little bit of the AJ risk here. Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. But I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put my proverbial money on Asante Samuel having a huge game against Eli Manning. This is a guy he's used to playing twice a year. He knows Eli. I don't have it offhand, but I'm sure he's picked off Eli, you know, a bunch of times. He's going to be hungry. He did not like being on the sideline last game. He did not like being on the sideline the game before. I think that long break, giving him that rest, I think helped him out. He spoke to the media today. He was fired up, ready to go, ready to face Eli again. I think that if he plays, and again, we don't know, but if he plays, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Asante Samuel is going to be my impact player of the game. And if he doesn't play, then AJ, you can come on the podcast and you can say whatever you want about me and my pick.
Nah, I won't do that to you.
Oh, so we're going to play high and mighty now.
Nah, I'll take care of that for
okay,
you.
Okay, Daniel got me.
Okay, hey, first of all, AJ, that was a nice pick.
Thank you.
Yeah. Solid pick.
Yeah. Good job there. All right, this is my pick. I'm so confident in it, I can barely speak. John Abraham, the Predator, all day. He's going to be, man, first of all, he doesn't talk to the media that often, but he was available this week on Wednesday, no less. When most of the media is here, Jay,
fire coming out of his mouth.
My man was
steamed.
All I can say is he's ready.
Mad.
He was
Predator's
one of the few guys. Yeah, one of the few guys that got you the quarterback, got to Eli in the playoff loss. There, he had a sack. He knows these guys. He knows what has to happen. And you know, there's not a better guy to rush the passer, in my opinion, than John Abraham. I'll put my money on John Abraham. Speaking of John Abraham, number three in the NFC defensive end Pro Bowl voting. A number of Falcons are kind of in the top five. Monday's the last day, so
we got
to get it done.
Got to get those votes in. And let me tell you something, Falcons fans. Matt Ryan was ahead of Drew Brees in the top 10 overall in NFL Pro Bowl voting across the whole NFL. Brees is ahead of Matt Ryan, but it's still close. Need to get out there for nothing else. I know we're all focused on another bowl, but this is a huge honor for these guys.
Absolutely.
Huge honor for these guys, and especially some of these guys who have never been before. But Matt Ryan deserves to go to the Pro Bowl.
Matt Ryan does. Justin Blaylock's number two. Todd McClure is number four. Thomas Dekut and William Moore are the number two free and strong safeties. Got to get them there.
Huge.
Monday, December 16th, mm-hmm. is the last day to vote.
Exactly. So that needs to happen. Everybody get out and vote. It's very easy to do. You can do it as many times as you want. Please get out there and do that because it's super important to these guys, even though we hope they won't be playing in it. Good?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jay.
Good. All right. Great. Well, we will be back with another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast next week as we get ready for Detroit in an early game right before Christmas.
Yeah.
So With that, we will see you after the Giants game, and we'll hope for good things, and we hope to rise up.